Thank you for listening to this sermon from Hope Church, Toronto West. It is our prayer that through these audio sermons, you are challenged and transformed by the Word of God, built up in love and faith, and drawn more to the person and work of Jesus Christ. We want to remind you that these online resources are never meant to be a substitute for God's good plan for you to be present, connected, and serving in a local church under the care of qualified elders. If you live in the West Toronto area and are looking for a local church, we encourage you to come check out one of our Sunday services. Now, as you prepare your heart to receive God's word, we pray that His Spirit would use the sermon powerfully in your life.
Good morning. Good morning. Happy New Year. It's good to be with you. I was here earlier this year in the summer leading worship, and so it's a unique opportunity to be here to open God's word with you. You can open it up to Acts chapter 12. We're going to be in verses 6 to 17. I just want to say thank you again, Jason, for the opportunity to open the word, and that was very kind words that you said. It's going to be hard to live up to that. I am an especially bad gift giver, and that means birthdays, anniversaries, and most recently Christmas are a terrifying time for me, because I am so bad at figuring out what people want. This was especially highlighted this year as we were wrapping up the kids' gifts, and I was excited because I had gotten them a Bible. And then my wife, Natalie, started pouring out all these other gifts that she had gotten. And I was like, what did we get them? This was the first time I had seen some of these gifts. My wife is an especially good gift giver, so it works well that we're married to one another. She is kind of like our Father in heaven. James says of our Father in James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. God gives good gifts to His people, amen? And He does so generously, and He loves to do so. He loves to lavish His people with good gifts. And we're going to see that in the passage we're looking at this morning. He lavishes His people with good things. And these are gifts that we as His people continue to receive from His hand. He loves to continue to dispense these good gifts to His people. And these are gifts that we, as we proceed into 2026, should look out for, and that we should readily receive from Him as He dispenses it to us. Because the reality is, though it's a new year, it still has the same troubles. Though it's a new year, we will still face trials. We will still face doubts until Jesus returns to bring us home safely into His kingdom. We will still face trials and our doubts. But our God, and that's what I hope to encourage you with this morning, our God gives good gifts to His people. And as we cling on to these good gifts, we will make it home to glory. God gives us these things so that we can be helped on our way home. Now, this is something we do at Toronto North, and I hope it's okay. If you are able, I'm going to encourage you to stand as I read from God's word. Acts chapter 12, as you are able. Acts chapter 12, verse 6. Now, when Herod was about to bring him out, on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly." And the chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, "Dress yourself and put on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and he followed him. He did not know what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they had passed the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord. And they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel left him. When Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all the Jewish people were expecting." Verse 12. When he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. And when he knocked at the door of the gateway, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. Recognizing Peter's voice, in her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and reported that Peter was standing at the gate. They said to her, "You are out of your mind." But she kept on insisting that it was so, and they kept saying, "It's his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they opened, they saw him and were amazed. Verse 17. But motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison, and he said, "Tell these things to James and to the brothers." Then he departed and went to another place. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, and would you join me as I pray as we step into this message. Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you for how you are already at work among your people. As your word has been read, as your people submit to the teaching of it, but as we've sung of your glory and your majesty, we pray that you would continue to dispense your grace and your goodness and your kindness towards us as we look to your word. Lord, we understand that apart from your spirit working, that there is nothing good that can happen. And so we pray that you would delight to feed your people from your word. Help us to see Christ and to see the good things that you give to us, and that we would treasure those things so that we might endure in this coming year as we seek to make it home to glory. We thank you for the work that you are doing, the work that you will do. We trust that you will do something great this morning. We pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. So today, In the passage before us, Peter finds himself in prison. This isn't the first time he finds himself in prison in the book of Acts. The first time he finds himself imprisoned because of religious opposition. But this time it's from political persecution. It's in the middle of this ongoing opposition to the gospel that God's people then receive good gifts from his hand. And I want you to see these two gifts. The first, God gives his people peace in the middle of adversity. God gives his people peace in the middle of adversity. Look at verse 6. Now when Herod was about to bring him out, on that very night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. Peter is in prison, and he's awaiting his execution. How do we know? Because earlier in chapter 12, we didn't read it, but verses 1 to 5, Herod had already taken the lives of those in the church. And because the Jews were happy about this, Herod thought he would give them an encore, and Peter would be the main attraction. Luke wants to make it very clear to us how hopeless Peter's situation is. Did you notice the description of his imprisonment? He's between two soldiers. He's wrapped up in two chains. There's sentries guarding the door. Peter is in trouble. Peter knows that death is what is awaiting him, but he's not bothered by it. What do you find him doing? He's taking a nap. Brothers and sisters, sometimes one of the most faith-filled activities that we can participate in is sleeping. In the middle of hardship, sometimes the most faith-filled thing we can do is to lay down our heads and take a nap. Why can we do this? We can sleep because, as the psalmist says in Psalm 121, the Lord neither slumbers nor sleeps. We can lay our head down because God never does. In fact, we not only follow the example of Peter when we do this, we follow the example of our Savior. Do you remember on the boat in the middle of a storm, what was Jesus doing while his disciples were panicking? He was laying his head down to rest. When we go to sleep, we are saying, our situation is out of our hands, but it's in my God's hands. Therefore, we can rest because our God never closes his eyes. Peter is able to take a nap because the peace of God is his constant companion. I was talking to a brother about the life of Peter recently, and we were going through the book of Acts, and I was sharing how throughout the course of Peter's life, from the Gospels into the book of Acts, how confident Peter has become. See, in the book of Acts, because he's so filled with the Spirit, because the peace of God is his companion, there is nothing that you can throw at him. If you beat him up, he considers it all joy to suffer for Christ. If you throw him in jail, he goes to sleep. If you release him, say, fine, go. He then goes back into the temple and preaches Christ. If you threaten him with death, he knows he's not going anywhere if God says it's not time. And even if it's time, he knows that he's going home to glory. So be it. Brothers and sisters, do you know that the same is true for you? That you will not face death a moment sooner than God determines in his good timing. And when it does come, the sting of death is gone. Jesus has defeated it. Death has now become simply a doorway into eternal life. Now, a good question that we as Bible readers should ask when we see this, and Peter's confidence in the middle of adversity is, what is the foundation for this kind of peace? Why is Peter so confident? Why is he sleeping? Well, Peter has this peace because Peter the rock has a rock-solid trust in the power of God and the promises of God. See, Herod has planned a funeral date for Peter, but Peter knows who's really in charge. Peter serves the one who found the doorway out of death and believes in the one who makes promises that will never fail. There is nothing that can shake the man or the woman of God who has the peace of God at their side and truly believes in the power of God to keep his promises. Now, I've had a number of sleepless nights recently, and I'm sure that I'm not alone, worrying about my family, about finances, about the future as a world. You know, we're moving into a new year, but it's still the same world. Some of you are like me. But the antidote for our anxiety, the pillow that God gives us to lay our heads down on, is his peace that comes as we hold on to the reality of his unshakable power and his promises. Now, I'm going to give you some of those promises. Some of you are crippled with loneliness. And you and I, we need to hold on to the promise of his constant presence. To those who are thrown by the chaos in the culture, you need to hold on to the promise of his control and his justice over all things. Some of us are anxious. I know I am anxious about the future and the unknown. But we need to hang on to the promise that God knows all things. Some of us are consumed by worry over our finances, and we need to hold on to the promises of his provision and treasures in heaven that will never fade. Some of you are very literally paralyzed by sickness. You need to hold on to the promise of eternal life and resurrected bodies where sin and death will have no sting. Some of you are discouraged by disunity among believers. And for us, we need to hold on to the promise that Christ is building his church, and there is nothing that will prevail against it. Amen? So while Peter is sleeping soundly upon that pillow of peace, what do we find happening? An angel comes to him. Look at verse 7. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly." And the chains fell off his hand. And the angel said to him, "Dress yourself and put on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and followed him. He did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but he thought he was seeing a vision. Verse 10. When they had passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord, and they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel left him. God intervenes in Peter's life and performs a divine jailbreak. Peter was in an impossible situation. He was drowning in a sea of trouble, but God rescued him. Friends, this is what God has done for you in Christ Jesus. You, like Peter, were completely hopeless in your situation. You were captive to Satan, bound by the chains of sin, and guarded by death. But Christ rescued you. God, to this day, is divinely intervening every time someone comes to faith in Christ. But there's something here that I don't want you to miss. Sometimes God's deliverance is absolutely unilateral. He does all the work without anything being done on our part, namely in the gospel, where we simply rest in what God has done for us. But there's other times when God works through our obedience, like we see here with Peter. See, God is the one who delivers Peter, but it doesn't happen apart from Peter's obedience. Look at how matter-of-fact Luke writes that when the angel gives Peter a command, look at Peter's response. Peter did so. Did you notice there's no negotiations? Peter doesn't offer a suggestion on how better maybe they can go about this plan. He is simply obedient. God does all the saving, and yet it happens in the context of Peter's faithful and ready obedience to the clear commands that God has given to him. Now, here's how that applies to you and I. We will find ourselves in situations where we absolutely need God to intervene. And sometimes, like Peter, we get into those situations because of our obedience to Christ. And other times, we get into those situations because of our sin and our foolishness. In either case, the way forward when we face these hard situations in our life is obedience. Let me be honest and with great humility say this. There are many troubles that you and I get ourselves in and are pleading with God to help us in, and we feel like he's not doing anything, but in reality, he's already shown us the way out in his word, and we're just simply sitting in disobedience. We're like, "God, come through," but he's like, "Obey." And he's telling us to follow him. Some of us, we're struggling with apathy and wanting community, but you have not listened to the command of don't forsake the gathering. Some of you are in unhealthy relationships, but you are not listening to the command of don't be unequally yoked. Some of you are falling into lust, but you are not following the command of flee from sexual immorality. Instead of obedience, you are setting up chairs on the porch of your life for temptation. God has already provided a way out, and the way forward, like Peter, is obedience. Once Peter is out of prison, he realizes he wasn't sleeping, and he recognizes God really did save him. Look at verse 11. When Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I am sure that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." Verse 12. When he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. The Lord delivers him from prison, and what's his first response? He wants to return to the church. And what does he find them doing? They are having a prayer meeting. And we know from verse 5, this was a prayer meeting held for him. A prayer meeting held so that the Lord would deliver Peter. Do you notice God has answered their prayers? The prayer that they're still making in the midst of their prayer meeting, God has already given them the answer. But they don't believe it. Look at verse 13. And when he knocked at the door of the gateway, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. Recognizing Peter's voice, in her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and reported that Peter was standing at the gate. Verse 15. They said to her, "You are out of your mind." But she kept insisting that it was so. And they kept saying, "It is his angel." Now I want you to notice the second gift that God gives in his goodness. God gives his people answers in the middle of doubt. God gives his people answers in the middle of doubt. See, Rhoda is so overwhelmed with joy that she forgets to open the doors for Peter. Now, put yourself in Peter's shoes for a second and think. Imagine what it would be like. You know, the doors of the prison open by their own accord, but the doors of the church won't even budge. So there's funny moments in the Bible like this, and it's okay when we read it to smile and to laugh. So Rhoda runs to the rest of the church to share the good news, forgetting to open the door, but they don't believe her. They are still in the middle of their prayer meeting, they're saying. "We're still praying for him. How could God have answered? There's no way God could have answered our prayers that quickly." See, they had dialed the number, but they hadn't expected the other side to pick up. They believed in the importance of prayer, but they weren't so confident that God would answer their prayer. Brothers and sisters, you and I can be like this in our prayer lives. Can we not? We are so committed to the discipline of prayer, but we are attacked by doubt. We're not sure if or even when God will answer. But what this reveals about us is our poor understanding of the character of God. Brothers and sisters, in prayer, we aren't making a Shark Tank or Dragon's Den kind of pitch. We aren't coming before him trying to convince him or to wear him down or tell him, "This is the reason why you should answer my prayer, because you'll get this in return." God is not holding back, waiting for us to convince him. He isn't stingy. God, in prayer, we come to him who is a loving father who loves to answer. Who, as we saw right at the beginning, is a good God who loves to dispense good gifts to his people. And praise the Lord that our doubts and our worries and our anxieties do not pose an obstacle for God to answer our prayers. God, in his kindness, still gives the gift of answered prayer to his people who are still maturing and growing in their faith. Now, here's a reality we need to be aware of. Sometimes our doubt and our poor understanding of God's character can blind us to the answers that God has already given to us. It can blind us to the answers God already has dispensed and the good gifts he's given to us and keep us from the joy of entering into his good provision. See, Peter was knocking for a while. The answer was right there to their prayer meeting. Peter's knocking, and they're like, "We still need to pray." God has given to them their answer, but they were blind and deaf to it. Some of us were praying for God to come through in our life. But the reality is he's already answered you. The answer is knocking at the door, waiting to be received. What you and I need in moments like that is a Rhoda in our life. Notice in verse 15, Rhoda kept insisting that it was so. this sister in Christ did not give up pointing out that God has answered their prayers. She was pushing these people past their doubts into the answer that God had given them. Some of you, I know this to be true, have the gift that Rhoda has. You are quick to point out in the lives of others how God is answering prayer. And the call to you is to keep doing that, because we need your help to see what God is doing in our lives. Now finally, someone opens the door for Peter, verse 16. But Peter continued knocking, and when they opened, they saw him and were amazed. Peter uses this opportunity to share the testimony of God's amazing and mighty work of deliverance. Look at verse 17. But motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, "Tell these things to James and to the brothers." And he departed and he went to another place. Peter uses this opportunity to testify of God's amazing and mighty deliverance. Now, I don't want you to miss this. Peter had no real reason to come back to this church, to meet up with this church at Mary's house. See, verse 17 tells us Peter simply shows up, testifies, and then moves on. He is risking his life. Remember, he just broke out of prison. But he's risking his life to meet up with God's people, to give them a testimony of God's amazing deliverance and a report of answered prayer. Because he knew that they were praying. Peter sought to encourage them before he moved on to his next assignment. Brothers and sisters, this is what you and I should do when God answers prayer. Sometimes we pray in desperation, God answers, and then we just simply move on. But Peter's example shows us that when we pray and that God answers, come together with God's people and celebrate. Testify of God's goodness, of how he has delivered. Encourage the others of how God answers prayer. Because when we do this, it reminds us that when we humbly seek the Lord, he hears us and he answers. One of the best parts of prayer meetings is when someone shares how God answers prayer. Because what does that do in us? It stirs up in us a greater confidence. We see this in the life of David. He says, I call out to the Lord because he has heard my voice. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. God's past and continued faithfulness to our prayers is the motivation and the fuel for our continued coming before him in prayer. Our Heavenly Father loves to give good gifts to his people. And in this passage, we see two good gifts. He gave peace in the middle of adversity, and he gave answers in the middle of doubt. And our response to God's good gifts that he gives to us is to receive them with joy. But brothers and sisters, our response should not end with simply reception. As one hymn puts it, "For every gift, greater is the giver. So to the giver of all, give thanks." Every good gift is an opportunity not only to receive a good thing from the hand of our Father, but is an opportunity to give thanks and to testify of the goodness of God. Amen? As we move into this new year, I want to encourage you, these are gifts that our God in his kindness continues to dispense to his people. And these are gifts that we need because our world hasn't changed. We continue to face trials and adversity. We continue to face doubt. But God in his kindness gives us peace and he gives us answers. And so we come before him in thanks. Let's pray.
For more resources and information about Hope Church Toronto West, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.